Hey, it's Selena.
And this is Paul.
And we are the creative team behind Bruce Fest.
And we're here to invite you to join us for virtual Bruce Fest on March 24th.
Featuring a masterclass on acting with Bruce Campbell himself.
Interactive events, live guests, and lots of spooky surprises.
And an online immersive game continuing the story of the Bruce Fest universe.
Do we dare call it the Bruceiverse?
I don't think we're there yet.
Yeah, no, probably not. Also, we just wanted to really reach out to the community to tell you guys how much we love you and how much we appreciate your passion for Bruce Fest and also how much we miss you.
Yes, we've definitely missed you a lot. We've all been wanting to get together. So this is our way of reconnecting and moving Bruce Fest into the future.
Join us March 24th for virtual Bruce Fest.
See you there.
For more information, visit brucefest.co. Bruce Fest is not affiliated with S-Mart.
You're listening to a Cult Talk Network podcast.
Welcome, everyone, to the Cult of Campbell.
Hello.
Yay.
I'm Ty.
I'm Ian.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Ursa.
And today, we are taking a look at the big budget sci-fi blockbuster, 2005's Alien Apocalypse.
Not Groovy. Wait. Sorry.
Alien Apocalypse was written and directed by Josh Becker, starring Renee O'Connor, Remington Franklin, Peter Jason, Michael Corey Davis, and of course, Bruce Campbell.
Baby.
Oh, yeah. It had a runtime of 88 long minutes.
We felt all 88.
And a budget of $1.5 million.
Which estimated. Bullshit. Estimated.
Bullshit. I'm calling.
That was a rough estimation. I have to believe that's a rough estimation.
Maybe 1,500.
Shot in Bulgaria.
Yeah.
Shot in Bulgaria.
So if any of you guys are like huge cinephiles, you should recognize more than a couple of those names as being like Xena alumni. Oh,
yep.
Yeah.
Renee O'Connor, Josh Becker wrote and directed a few episodes. Of course, Bruce Campbell. So
naturally.
Yep.
Yeah. There's some history here between these this team. So it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But I think we should go ahead and talk about this a little more.
Oh, heck yeah.
In our next segment, let's get groovy.
Grab your boomstick and fire up the Delta. It's time for ACTION. Join the Cult of Campbell.
Groovy.
If you're lucky a little later, I'll let you play with my boomstick.
So this was my very first time seeing this movie. Tyler, you saw it before.
Right? I think this is my third time watching it. Like since it's been out. Wow. Yeah.
Ow.
Okay.
I remember the first time I watched it was on Sci-Fi when it premiered. So I'd been 15 when it came out. So I was a big Sci-Fi Saturday. Like that was my thing.
What year was this again?
2005.
Okay.
Yeah. So like Sci-Fi Saturday was like my shit. Like all day Saturday, I would just sit at home, binge shitty creature features. 9 o'clock roll around, I'd watch whatever was premiering. So that was first time watching this. Hated it. even being like, because like when it was announced, I was like, oh shit, like Bruce Campbell in a sci-fi movie, and that was like peanut butter and jelly to me. I was like, that's perfect.
Right.
And I remember not being very entertained, not being impressed. I watched it again. A couple months ago when we started talking about doing Cult of Campbell and we were plotting it out and planning everything. I got this like big nostalgia rush and I was like, I'm gonna watch that movie again. Hated it. Regret watching it. I remember being like so pissed when it was done. I was like, God damn it, I gotta watch this again. Like now I finished it. It's like now I know I have to watch it again. And then when we made the list, it came up on the early run. So
right.
So yeah, what about you guys? Who here has seen it other than me?
Well, I watched it for the first time about 2 hours ago.
Yeah, same here.
And, yeah. I didn't care for it.
Yeah, this was my first time watching Alien Apocalypse 2, and I was not prepared for what I was in for. I'm in shock. Shock. What do you think, Ursa?
My first time too, as I said. I felt like it could have been, my viewing experience could have been enhanced with some drugs.
Yeah.
But you think those might have
helped? Might have helped a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I laughed.
Right.
Yes. I don't think it was a comedy.
No. I will say, watching it this third time was the funnest experience I've had watching it with you guys. It was a lot. Right. It made it a lot better watching it with like a group of.
This is a good movie to watch with friends.
Yeah.
I think all movies like this are better to watch with friends. You can just sit and roast the movie while you're doing it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. There was a lot to. There was a lot of material there to roast on. So
absolutely.
So where do we start off?
Well,
with Alien Apocalypse.
Well, first and foremost, I want to start off. I went to Wikipedia, which there is a Wikipedia article for this movie.
Which is shocking.
Not me.
Yeah. That's shocking me.
Which, first of all, check it out.
Oh, yeah, that poster.
That about sums it up.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah.
And the little blurb at the bottom says, the highest rated sci-fi pictures original of all time.
Is that right?
Which probably doesn't still hold up. I imagine they upped their game.
I think Sharknado pretty much like blew that out of the water.
Yeah.
Sharknado set like new standards for them.
Yeah, yeah. But we start with some pretty mediocre B-roll with a voiceover that I didn't hear of. Fucking word of. So I have literally no fucking idea what they were talking about. They were probably setting up the backstory that we heard all over the fucking exposition dumps in this movie.
Right.
And then the next thing we see is like there's some slaves being walked by dudes on horses, and they can only take like a six inch stride because their legs are chained and they're just kind of shuffling in this awkward fucking conga line.
Yeah.
And then we get we see like the alien briefly, or like its claw, and then we just
They tease at the alien quite a bit in that opening.
Oh yeah,
little segment.
I thought it was gonna be like a monster movie the way they were setting it up, like they're getting stalked by some. No, so then we see a fucking something flying through the sky. It looks like a meteor, but I guess it's a spaceship. It lands off screen. Then we're introduced to four astronauts. Bruce Campbell is one of them. What's her name? Renee O'Connor.
Gabrielle from Xena.
Dude with dreadlocks. And then the most annoying chick in the whole fucking movie. And her leg is hurt. We find out Bruce Campbell's a doctor. He doesn't seem to be a great doctor. And
has a lot of theories.
Yeah, yeah.
He does a lot of scheming. Like when you're first introduced to him, he's doing all this scheming about how like, there's probably not a lot of doctors around anymore. It means he can charge what he wants.
I can make my own rate.
Yeah.
And then, because they've been in space for 40 years, apparently.
Right.
Between 40 and 20, because you hear them say both at certain points.
Do they say both?
I think at the beginning they say 20, but then later it's 40. Yeah. Then later a guy who claims to be 35 watched him launch when he was a kid.
That guy was for sure 55.
Yeah.
But, The lady with the broken leg, who I really didn't like, got shot, and I liked that part a whole lot. And then she's not in the rest of the movie.
Oh, she was. Her acting was terrible.
Like, there is pretty much no good acting in this movie, with the sole exception of Bruce Campbell.
You glossed over one of the more epic visuals of the film. They come over the ridge, and they're in ruins. It's Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon. Shittily green screen into the green screen. They realize, Portland used to be surrounded by trees, and they're all gone. It's just a rock desert.
Okay. Yep.
I wonder what happened to all the trees.
Yeah.
My favorite part about this opening, too, is like, so this is supposed to have happened. You know, we find out later the world's been in shambles for like 20-some years. But as they're walking in that beginning sequence, there's all these cars with like, just moderately decayed corpses in them. So it's very like confusing.
Shitty mummies?
Like, yeah, they all look like shitty mummies. But, you know, I imagine for 20 years, they They would have
just be bones.
Yeah, they'd be just bones. Yeah, just
like sun bleached skeletons sitting in these cars in the middle of what is now a desert. But nope, they still got some flesh on a little bit of meat for the vultures.
Yeah, we find out we're in Oregon before that because there's a car license plate with Oregon that they zoom in on, which explains all the thick Bulgarian accents we get to hear later on.
Yes, definitely accounts for that. The lady gets shot. I cheered. And then they get captured by the bounty hunters and added to the Tonga line.
The bounty hunters, who you will recognize immediately for their shitty beards and shitty hair. Every one of them.
We can spend the whole time talking about this, so I'm just going to get it out in the open right now. If you are wanting to watch this movie, you have to know that pretty much every single person in this movie is wearing a terrible wig and a worse fake beard. I don't know why. It's
pretty funny.
I think they were reusing extras.
Definitely. That's our theory. Because later we run into another group of random people, and our theory is they're the same people. Yeah. They're just like, you take the wigs off and your beards in this scene. Put the wigs and beards on in this scene.
Yeah,
here's the wigs. Here's the box of wigs and beards. Pick two.
That's what we pay you 50 cents.
Yeah, we pay you 50 American cents.
Seriously, like it's insane. Like if this movie was a drinking game and you had to do a shot every time you saw really crappily done stage makeup, like you would probably die in 15 minutes.
Yeah,
it's honestly really intense.
As soon as they get to the big internment camp, the sawmill, as I call it, you would be blacked out.
Which is adjacent to like a giant pine cone embedded in the ground or something. It's literally aliens.
So
it's like a hive made out of wood.
Yeah, there's an immediate contrast between like them being shuffled through as slaves at the beginning, and then you enter a big pine forest, which looks very Oregon-ish. So they did get on their location scouting.
Yeah.
So you find there's a sawmill. People are just, moving boards from one pallet to the other pallet.
Yeah. Like their whole job is to just take 2x4s that are already cut and then put them on other piles of 2x4s. We don't see a single saw.
Yeah, no, there's a saw.
Yeah, there's a contraption of the scenes, and that's why you
whatever that doesn't count.
No,
my phone.
No, at the camp, there's one. At the camp, there's a saw.
At the camp,
the sawmill.
Logs into things.
Right. Yeah,
that's what I mean in the B-roll when they're introducing.
Did we see it? Did we see it, or do we just hear it in the background?
No, it shows it. It shows these things being cut.
But I swear we didn't see so that then, thing again.
No, you're right. We saw it, I think, one time.
But it looks like it's like...
No, I remember what you're talking about.
It's the only piece of machinery we see the entire time.
Yeah. Right. Well, they can only rent it for an hour.
All these
wood planks are all like perfectly cut and sanded.
What I love... Is they
stickers on them?
What I love is they bring well, it's not loaves, whatever the Bulgarian equivalent of loaves is.
Los,
yeah, loaves. Yeah.
These flakes come from Los, great for built garage.
You build shack. You live in shack or else. Welcome to Bulgaria.
That was like half the budget.
Enjoy vacation now. But I love it because they bring Bruce Campbell, Rene O'Connor, and then a third astronaut who's the captain.
Dreadlock guy.
They bring him in and like just immediately they just start working. They just start they get right into it. Yeah. They're just immediately just right into it.
But they get disciplined because they're like, well, these perfectly smooth boards are going to hurt our hands, so we need gloves. So they wrap a tiny piece of twine around part of their palm.
Yep.
But the 4 seconds they weren't working was enough for the dude with the apron and the baseball bat to get pissed.
Yep.
So
the big overseer.
Yep. So he takes them to get disciplined.
Yep.
And by the way, the whole time, every single time we're at this sawmill, there's a guard tower and there's a dude up there with a rifle. He doesn't do a fucking thing. Not one time.
Nope.
I don't think we ever see him. We just see him sometimes standing around, and then at the end of the movie, he gets shot. I'm not going to say spoiler alert because nobody gives a shit.
No. I can't imagine anyone's pissed that you just spoiled 2005's Alien Apocalypse. I was going to watch it. I was going to watch it tonight. Fuck. You didn't warn me.
Yeah. Another spoiler. They're just cutting people's fingers off. There's a whole line of people. And there's a dude with some big scissors, yeah. And he's just smiling at the concept of chopping these little fingies off.
Oh, he's excited.
Yeah, so we see why the fingies are getting chopped off, because they take him into the giant pinecone lodge, and we meet the alien. We've seen one by now. There are one or maybe two puppets in the whole movie. I'm saying two, because sometimes we see more than one puppet in the shot, but like that could just be, well, I don't know.
Yeah,
they definitely don't have special effects. Yeah. But so they have probably one puppet, at least maybe part of another. But they walk in and we meet the aliens, and they talk with the 1950s. I am an alien voice.
Yeah, it sounds like some kind of like translation software they've got, yeah. Where you just like type in words and it just like repeats it, you know, like this is a house. I like to go into the store, like that kind of shit. Like I don't know.
Like a Marvin the Martian bootleg.
And they like repeat the last of their stuff.
Which is super
accurate. Yeah, they'll be like, you must listen. Must listen. Like they'll do that kind of thing.
Yeah. Very strange.
You go in, there's three of them. They're like insectoid looking things. They have bug eyes and pincers.
Yeah, they basically look like praying mantises.
That's the best way to put them. They're like praying mantises.
In stunning CGI.
They call them mites because they're you know, they like wood, I guess.
They like wood. Oh yeah. We find out at some point that, and I'm gonna forget when it is, so I'm just gonna say it now. They're on Earth for wood. That's why.
Yeah, they came to Earth because they want wood. It's a business. They're like taking the wood from here and they're shipping it back to their home planet. Because
it's like diamonds.
It's like diamonds.
It's like diamonds. What?
But they also eat it.
Right. They also eat it. But we never see him eating it. All we see him eat his fingers.
Yeah.
And heads.
Because Dreadlock guy speaks up. He's being defiant. I don't remember why.
Yeah,
I don't care.
He's the captain. He's like, he's being like inquisitive. You know, I need answers. I need them now.
Yeah. And like, so one of the aliens steps up to him, and then it's like mandibles just kind of awkwardly spread aside. It just has like giant shark jaws under there.
Yeah.
And then he bites his head off in one of the stupidest of quite a few stupid shots in this movie.
This one's bad.
His ponytail is still
That's what cracked me up. It's like they went in post and erased his head.
That's all they did. You know that's all they did. Yeah, that's all they did. They're like, all right, he bit his head off at this line. Everything above this line is gone. We can't do nothing with this line.
But what about the ponytail, Frank? Well, he didn't bite off the ponytail, did he?
It was glued to his back.
Clipped to his back.
So that dude's just dead. Two astronauts down. And then somebody brings in a bowl of fresh severed fingies. Mm-hmm. And the aliens dig in. Because apparently they're both carnivores and whatavores.
Yep.
Whatever the fuck that is. So
then we go to the place where you get a lot of exposition. We get our exposition dump.
In the hole.
Yeah, they take Renee O'Connor, because now it's just Renee O'Connor, it's Bruce Campbell, two top billed names. They take him, they dump him into a hole where there's, I guess it's where people, the slaves sleep.
It's just this dugout hole with a trap door, and they throw him down there, and there's hay everywhere, and she's like, I'm going to talk to these people, but they keep running away. They have fires down there.
I will say, I enjoyed all the interactions between Bruce Campbell and Renee O'Connor.
Yeah.
Even their like banter down in the hole, like when they first get in there, you know, they're like, you know, all other slaves are like looking at him like, you know, they're like all cautious and afraid of him.
Because they're dressed strange.
Like, yeah, they're dressed strange. It comes up several times. Like,
I didn't mention they're wearing pristine white NASA jumpsuits the whole movie. They never remove them.
Oh, no, they
nobody
don't.
Nobody ever. No? Removes their clothes. Nobody has ever changed clothes in this movie.
Yeah.
We find a bunch of politicians who are still in their suits.
After 20 years? that's how you know they're politicians. Yeah. But they get in the hole and like everyone is like afraid of them because they're dressed weird.
They're dressed weird.
And Renee O'Connor's like, or Bruce is like, well, what do we do now? And Renee O'Connor's like, we're going to make friends or whatever. Mm. And there's some snappy little banter where like, they're trying to go over to these little huddled masses of slaves, and they all just immediately go away. And Bruce is like, "You're doing great." Yeah, I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Finally, they settle up to an old man.
Yep, the world's oldest 35-year-old.
Yep.
Yep.
He gives them all the exposition about
tells them everything.
Tells them about
the mite showed up 20 years ago and like defeated mankind and.
Mankind couldn't fight.
Yeah, that's a big plot point.
It is. It's
like, everyone is afraid of the mites, and like they overtook the entire world.
Yeah,
but you find out later, it's how.
Yeah, seriously, they're okay. So, so yeah, they find out, they get the big exposition dump, and then they're like, where do you get gloves around here? And he's just like, somebody dies, and then you take them off the corpse. That's it. There's no other way to possibly get gloves.
And then Bruce and Renee, they make up their mind. Well, they're not going to stay down there forever. They're going to dig their way out with wooden spoons.
With wooden spoons. Everybody has their assigned wooden spoon.
Which seems like that'd be a very valuable item for the mites.
Oh, yeah.
It's a wooden spoon.
Yeah.
Why they're giving them wooden spoons. I guess apparently because they don't want the humans to find out, they're actually pretty squishy. So they they start digging this hole, and then, like, Renee has the hole dug, like, pretty fucking deep by the middle of the night.
Yep.
She gets really far. She's like Shawshank in that shit. So the next day, somebody dies, and they get gloves, and then they put the gloves on, and then like somebody else dies, and they get another pair of gloves, and then they fuck.
Yeah.
So, there's like no like.
Yeah.
Like, it just happens.
This is like 10 minutes of the movie, and it's just like, they're just like in the hole digging. And then they're outside doing work, and then they're in the hole digging, and then they fuck in the hole, and then, because earlier she saw other people doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's some dude with long hair who's missing a finger, who
he's the old man's grandson, I believe.
Probably.
Or son, one that. He's some relation to him.
Yeah. He's a
person. And they mention, like, you know, oh, he's really smart, which, you know, I don't really know where that came from.
Never elaborated on that.
He said something, like, very, like, like obvious, and that was their way of establishing that he was intelligent. It was, I forget what he said, like something like, "Oh, you need air to breathe." And like, oh, this kid over here, he's a real smart guy.
He's a fucking genius.
Yeah. He's got it. Yeah. The air goes in your lungs, and you keep on living.
So we established that. He figured it out.
He cracked the code.
Yeah,
but
yeah. So now that Bruce and Renee have done the nasty, where everybody could see them, including several children. They have two pairs of gloves, and they're flirting.
They are just the cutest couple.
Oh, they're adorable. Yeah, nothing says turn on like slave labor.
It only happens very briefly, but in this brief little portion of the film,
like 2 seconds,
it's like they forgot. They're just like, all right, it's at least we got each other, and they're like, they're like grabbing on each other and like touching each other's hand while they're lifting lumber.
Taking a break to flirt while they move lumber from one pile to another.
Apron dude doesn't like that.
Yeah, the overseer sees it and just goes, "Hey, them or you know." He blows a whistle or whatever the fuck, and then they snatch up Renee, and like put her in like shackles or what the fuck's that called?
I think they were gonna whip her.
They
put her in like a stockade, and they were gonna whip her, and then they just start fighting back.
Yep.
And she like really easily. They take all these people really easily. Some really shitty action happens, and then Bruce gets his hands on like one of those like hole drill bits, the ones that you like bore a hole into the wood, and then an alien comes out to like see what's going on. Keep in mind, dude in the tower can see everything.
He never fires one shot, he never
yells, he never directs other people to like go help. He's just fucking off in that tower. So this alien comes out and gets stabbed in the gut by Bruce, and he gets green shit all over him, the alien's blood, and that's like a big thing. People are like, "Kill alien!"
Oh man, everyone is just like, they can't believe it.
How did he use this easily accessible tool to kill one of the six aliens, baby?
Like literally, like he just. Yeah, it's like, not even like a big thing. It's not like he had to do anything tricky. He just like impales it with us.
Crouching behind the pile of 2x4s and jumped out and just went, nah.
Yeah, he stabs with a drill bit and it's dead.
Yeah, and then it's dead.
And no one can believe it. Everyone's like, oh my God, they die like we do. Yeah, they die.
Later in the movie, people are like, he did just kill one of those aliens. I can't believe it. Like it's inspiring them to revolt. And it's like, literally, none of you thought of that once.
It's like during the whole invasion portion, like the military must have just stepped aside.
Like, like they gave these humans guns. They're walking around with like their laser didgeridoos, but the humans still have weapons.
I think the implication, because later we find out that didn't they send a warning back or something like that, that the aliens were coming.
The probe that
is that humanity didn't fight back. They just immediately were like, oh shit, aliens, and started running and hiding and just got over. I think that's what happened, because we see the moment they fight back.
It's as good a guess as anything else.
I at least think that's maybe what the writer and slash director was going for.
Because like I would think
that's a good idea if he heard you say that. He'd be like, yeah,
that's totally what I was going for.
Like, it's not like
alien movie.
It's not like you see later when they're killing these aliens. It's not like they have like, there's only one weakness to them. You gotta get right underneath the thing and inside the thing, and you gotta curve it up. Nope. It's like, nope, it's just anywhere that you would kill a human or like a small child, you just hit them there. Like,
and to make it even better, their reflexes are fucking terrible.
Oh, awful. Yeah.
They sit there just
they're
looking
the
around
worst.
At these arrows, like, arrows flying.
Yeah.
They're the, like, it literally looks like you could like fight like six of them yourself. You could like kill six of them. Like,
I could, like, with asthma while smoking a cigarette and hacking up a lung, could kill six of these guys.
Like,
with the cigarette.
Yeah. If you like kicked one hard enough, they would just die. They would just die.
All you have to do is not hold still when they try to bite your head off.
Yes. Yes.
Which happens.
Try not to get freeze framed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
While you're being
right. Yeah.
So we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. So Bruce Campbell and long haired nine fingered dude who's real smart, I guess. Are running from some bounty hunters.
Renee goes too. They all three of them rank run.
Oh yeah. Well, but they split up and she gets chased into a field.
Do. Oh, yeah. before they run out, because Renee gets a gun, which does her no good.
Yeah.
But the way she gets the gun is like there's a guy standing by the gate when they get around, and she just takes a wooden club and just chucks it and knocks him right out, like hits him right in the head.
Right. I forgot.
Oh wait, no, she does use that gun. Yeah.
She does.
But yeah, girl, she just kind of she's got a log at some dude's head.
Yeah.
She's got some moves in the beginning of this.
Oh, yeah. Snatches up that gun. They run off. They decide to split up. Bruce and Nine Finger Guy go one way. She goes the other way.
Yeah, just randomly. They're like, all right, let's fucking split up.
Yeah, Bruce and Nine Finger, they go into the desert portion. Renee runs into the woods.
Deeper into the forest. Apparently, they're right
and over. We learn that apparently in NASA, you get some pretty good sharpshooter training, because she just turns around. There's guys coming.
Four horses.
There's horsemen coming, and she just kills like three of them. Just boom, boom, boom. Yep.
Just takes them all down.
Yeah.
And then how did they...
He has like a grenade rifle.
He
shoots a grenade that lands near her, does absolutely no damage, and then they are instantly on top of her and capture.
Oh yeah, the minute she hits the ground, their feet are.
Meanwhile, Bruce and Nine Finger are getting chased by two of the same horses, and they end up on a cliff overlooking some water, and they're quote unquote cornered, because there's definitely places that they could go, but they're doing real bad.
They showed
bad.
Way too much of the wide for us to believe they were.
Yeah, they really fucked up on that shot.
But Bruce got his hands on one of the didgeridoos, so he fires it at the bounty hunters, and then it knocks him and the long-haired guy into the water, and then they get washed away into a stream, I guess. And then, so Renee's captured or something, and then they get washed down a river, and then they just kind of crawl up on shore, and they're like, woo, what a day. And then from a hollow under a tree, they just hear, hey, come here. They just landed 3 feet away from just some like sexy midriff bearing made up forest lady.
Yeah, she had like a loincloth and a bra, and that was basically it.
But she was clearly like forest a model, girl. Like so.
And then you get like one of the worst shots. I wouldn't say the worst shots, but one of the worst shots of the movie.
It was up. Yeah,
so it was bad. Awkwardly,
they crawl into this hole and they're all just crouched there, and then she starts a fire, which we see her sparking the like wood, but we never see the fire itself. So there's just this awkward, like, underlit shot of the three of them crouching real close.
Yeah, it's complete like pitch black.
Over the fire.
Yeah, they've leaned over the fire. It's pitch black, and you can't see anything around them.
Freaking black.
So you know they're in, like, a closet with a flashlight. Yeah. Underneath them. Like, you know that's where they filmed this thing.
They're like, thanks for saving us. She fucking did not.
Yeah, that was... That's what the fuck did that mean?
Bold-faced lie.
Yeah.
All she did was watch these dudes claw up the bank and then go...
I'm over here in this shelter that you just washed up right next to.
Yeah. So, like, they have a conversation, and then they put out the fire and then just leave the thing. Like, there was no reason for them to be in there.
No.
They never showed any bounty hunters or aliens, like, in the area.
And then we make our way to Freedom Valley.
Oh, Freedom Valley, which is this weird-ass looking village. Like, it looks worse than a matte painting.
Yeah, it's some kind of, like, poorly done, like, CG digital attempt at a matte painting.
Like, Forest Girl knows where this village is, but she's still, like, just chilling underneath the tree.
Well, she's apparently got a fiance in this village, too.
Apparently she lives in this village, but she just hangs out under this tree.
Yeah,
she's waiting on outside.
They're all dressed, like, completely differently from her too, like scant forest
and
bikini,
and this and isn't
all
like
and they're all in
medieval
their, like,
vests.
Yeah, it's not like a small little like colony either. It's like a big ass like village, like a town.
Yeah, which apparently isn't that fucking far from the sawmill, but
right.
I don't know if there's like a peace treaty or they just don't know, but it's in a big ass valley.
Yeah, they have like fires Freedom Valley with smoke popping up. And this is a good time to mention that a lot of shots are reused in this movie. Because there is one establishing shot of Freedom Valley, and they use it every time the characters go to Freedom Valley. And that happens a shitload throughout this
whole
movie. They clearly reuse shots, like even like B-roll shots.
This is also a good time to bring up that, you know, we mentioned that Bruce's a doctor, but this is where we actually see him start to utilize his craft.
Oh yeah, all he does is crack two people's backs.
He gets the bullet out of that one guy too.
Oh well, yeah, okay.
He rips a bullet out of someone's body
with like a big ass hunting knife.
Yeah,
yeah,
like
yeah.
Big ass hunting knife. And he's just like,
so they shoot the
him and wiggles it around.
Oh my god, I know.
But yeah, so he's in this village, and we get some exposition about how like the old president that was around.
Yeah,
took off.
That's something the old man mentioned.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a President Dembski.
Yeah.
Who's a
damn
Republican.
He's a damn Republican. But he's up in the mountains, the Cascade Mountains, and he's organizing a freedom force. But it's like a legend. Like some people don't believe in President Dembski or whatever the fuck is.
The president lives.
Yeah.
The president lives.
Yeah. They chant the president lives like a fucking cult. Like it's bizarre.
Really
weird.
It's
such a weird choice. But so Bruce Campbell's like, well, I'm going to go find the president and save my lady friends since all you people in this village aren't going to help me. Nine Finger Long Hair and Sexy Lady go with him. And then.
Well, they also do one like the only bit I really like in this whole movie. There's a little bit where like the leader of Freedom Valley who they talk to, who you also find out is Jungle Lady's fiance.
Oh, yeah, which never comes up again.
No, it doesn't. He just makes a mention like, but we were supposed to be wed, and she's like, I'm going to go with him, and he's like, all right. Like,
he's got a big chin, and he doesn't have shitty hair.
Yeah. So. And when we first meet this guy, too, he's all like hunched over, then Bruce pops his back, and he's fine.
Pops his back, cures his scoliosis.
He's like, that feels fine. Like that feels fine. It
feels fine.
But so, he does a thing where, you know, Bruce is like, I'm going to get the president and all this. Or no, when he first meets him, he puts his hand out.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, what are you doing? And he's like, it's a greeting. And like, oh, and he pulls his hand back because no one knows what a handshake is.
Future. That's the running gag because nobody knows
which I actually what a handshake enjoy.
Is. Yeah. But yeah, so they leave to go find the president, and we're just treated to like a bunch of scenes of him just collecting people. Like first he meets this dude who's fishing and he literally just
no, that's not the first one they meet.
It's
they meet the bullet wound guy.
No,
first.
No, that guy was second.
Was he?
I don't think it fucking matters
anymore. No, it was bullet wound guy first.
Well,
okay, so like they're going through and then like they get shot at and they duck down.
Yeah. Okay, you're right. So yeah, there's a bunch of people getting shot at like feet away from them. They're just crouched in plain view of the bounty hunters that are shooting at them. And then one guy gets shot in the side, but they miss like the kill shot. And then
he fakes.
They ride off and then Bruce Campbell just comes out and he has his knife out and the guy's like, oh, you're going to kill me. And then he's like, here, drink this potato liquor. He's like, why are you making me drink alcohol if you're going to kill me? And then he just dumps it in his mouth. And then he just fucking stabs his knife into the dude's bullet wound and just starts fucking jamming it around, just yanking that motherfucker, pulls it out, reaches in there with his whole goddamn hand.
Unsanitized.
Just, yeah. just and then yanks out the bullet and he's like, you're gonna be fine. No,
he's sanitized with the potato liquor.
So so this dude, they just help him up and he's just like, ooh, ow, like, dude, you just got shot and then got the bullet wound fisted and not stitched up either. He just yanked the bullet out and was like, you're fucking good. So that guy joins them, and then they find the guy with hands down the worst hair in the movie.
The Fisher?
The Fisherman. This was, okay, I don't know what any of these wigs started as, but they all look bad. But this one clearly started as like the Halloween USA, like shoulder length kind of bob with the bangs. Like, right. I can't even think of like a good, like, okay, if you've ever seen a woman drunk at the bar for Halloween dressed as like Cleopatra or something, it was like that kind of fucking wig.
So this dude, that's pretty much every wig in the movie.
Yeah. So this dude has his back to them and he casts his line and then flings it over his shoulder and a fish lands.
And he's like standing in like this shallow water. Like, yeah, you wouldn't even get your feet wet and walking across this water.
You can see this stream just catching empty big ass fish.
Big ass carp.
Huge right out of this. And just one after the other, he literally just flings four fish out
like
and
it's then, nothing.
Yep. And then Bruce Campbell's like, hey, or whatever. And then he just turns around and in his other hand, he already has a drawn like broom handle pistol.
It looked like, I thought it was Han Solo's gun from Star Star Wars. I thought for sure that's what it was. I was like, no way. They just went to, they brought that prop into the area.
Yeah, they have a short, like, standoff and he's like, I'm going to get the president, and then it's all resolved and he's like, that's fine, I don't have bullets anyway, and I'll just catch fish for you so you can eat them. I don't even really like eating them, I just like fishing.
Yeah, he's like swishing.
It's like, dude, you just fucking murder fish.
And then it cuts to like them having a little campfire, eating fish, and all of a sudden there's 15 people.
Yeah, no, there's like two people in the background, like one dude who we've never seen before, who might be the only person with real facial hair in the movie, maybe. And we're just like, who the fuck is that guy?
And he hasn't had a lot of camera time. He keeps looking at the camera.
He keeps just glancing every time it shows over to him. Like, he'll be looking the correct direction, and you'll see his eyes just shift over to the camera real quick. He's like, are we still rolling? We're still rolling.
That was clearly, like, the geek grip, and they're like, dude, we need one more.
We need one more.
Can you feel this shot?
I don't know if I will be very good on camera. Literally, all you have to do is sit still and not look at the camera.
No, I'll try.
I will try.
Yeah, so Bruce Campbell just dumps exposition.
Yeah.
And he's like, I was on a space probe. Like, shit we already know is the audience. And he's telling these people, like, I went up on a probe 4 years ago and whatever.
Yeah.
And then
drinking. They're all so enraptured by what he's going on about.
And then they keep going and just like every shot, there's just more people. He just keeps collecting people off screen. And then we find this like hunchback dude who has the second worst hair in the
movie. This guy is just weird overall.
Hold on. They picked up Shitbeard before that. That one of the bounty hunters.
Shitbeard.
He pops
the
up.
The lead bounty hunter.
Yeah, the lead bounty hunter. We see him throughout the movie. And he has a super distractingly bad fake beard and mustache.
Worst one in the
movie.
It's
incredible. And he's on screen so much.
With close-ups.
I'm pretty sure he had facial hair underneath his shitty
mustache. Yes.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
He probably did. It was incredible. Every time he was on screen, it's all I could think about.
It's so obvious.
Dialogue. I wouldn't see anything that was going on. Like the scene in Austin Powers where he's like, Molly, 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 Molly. Like, he's distracted by the mole. That's what I was like with that fake beard. I was just like, it's on your face and I want to peel it off. It's clearly held on by like this much spirit gum. So they recruit him. I don't even fucking remember how they.
He got shot with an arrow.
Yeah, yeah. He got shot with an arrow. And all the people are like, hey, watch this. He's going to fucking kill him. And then he's like, hey, I'm going to show mercy if you help us.
I love it. He's like, no. He's like, we're humans and humans can change. He's going to be with us. And later we see how all that worked out. But
So they at some point recruited Shitbeard, who was just. I mean, they've been journeying like this whole time. So he was
Oh, yeah, he caught up quick. Yeah, I guess you're right. I didn't think about that. How the fuck did he get there?
It seems like they're like in like the same like little 10-mile radius.
Oh,
like
right? It was just going in circles collecting people.
It really feels like
that.
That's
what happens when you let a doctor lead the trip through the woods. Doctors are not good in the woods.
Yeah, I've been to space. How hard can
What is he, an OD? DO, what is it?
A DO.
So
you need an MD when you're traveling.
Right. Yes. So they find this hunchback.
I like that his explanation for why he's in space is that like none of the real doctors want to go to space because they won't be gone for 40 years. So he just kind of like volunteered on it.
I'll take it.
Like, all right. Yeah. You think they were probably like, we don't need a we need a real doctor. Yeah. Like,
And I love that they're like the real doctors didn't want to go to space, as if there has never been a fucking doctor on a space shuttle before.
No. One thinks that's a good idea. Like no one thinks that's an exciting idea.
Yeah. Not a single astronaut has ever had a doctorate. Good job. That's definitely a real fact. So they find this hunchback in the woods, and he's got the second worst hair in the movie or wig, and then he knows where the president is. So they follow him, and he's like a smart ass and kind of a dick. And then they show up to just some bunker.
Yeah.
Randomly in the woods that like a bunch of politicians are in, just like from the old regime or whatever.
Dried up, old. They've got their really suit ties dirty. On still after 20 years.
The one guy reminded me of Phil from Shaun of the Dead.
the senior senator from New York. He made sure to tell us that because he walks in and him and the hunchback get into an argument. This dude just had like a bunch of crap smeared on his face. He's like, "You need to respect me. I'm the senior senator from New York." And then the hunchback is just like, "Take us to the president, fucker," or whatever. So they go and meet President Dempsey or whatever.
Painting.
Yeah, he's just painting some landscapes. Just
painting some happy trees.
Still dressed in a suit. Everybody's still wearing their suits.
Everyone's still wearing their 20-year-old suits.
Because you're right. And he had like an actually like put together office. Like
All these
other old men are just like laying around on the floor.
They're still like maintaining this hierarchy for some reason.
So,
but he's not doing anything. So it's like, what's the point?
So Bruce Campbell's like, "Hey, we heard you're gathering people for the resistance," and he's just like, "No, I'm not." And he's like, "Okay, then I'll do it."
That's basically what it is.
Boy, you saved them a lot of time on that scene.
Yeah, that's like a 5-minute scene. Boom, 5 seconds.
He Dembski's like, "You can't kill these things." And have you seen him? He's like, "There's no way you can kill something like that." And he's like, "No, I've killed him."
Yeah, he's like, "I stabbed one with a drill bit. Have you even tried to kill him?" He's like, "Why would I bother trying to kill these things?"
Yeah. And then
that is pretty much, see? They didn't try fighting back. And so
they just leave, like, and then the hunchback is, like, leading them out. And then Bruce Campbell's like, "Hey, real quick, before we split off at this random point in the woods, let me try to help you." And he's just like, "People have tried. Like, there's no doctors. This guy is a doctor. There is a guy in the group who can testify that he got a bullet yanked out of his side and didn't die. There's another guy who got shot by an arrow and didn't die. And this guy's just like, you're not going to be able to fix my back." So he lays on his side really awkwardly, and then Sexy Lady and Nine Finger help. And then there's just like a bunch of cracking while Bruce Campbell just pretends to do some shit off screen. And then he stands up and his voice is different. He's like, "Oh, I'm cured. Thanks, dog."
Stands up straight and tall. "I'm not a dwarf or a hunchback.
I'm not Gollum from the Lord of the Rings anymore."
Urs, what did you think of that?
What do you mean?
His procedure. Procedure. What did you think of his?
I don't know. I'm not a getting.
Well, I mean, how was his technique?
How was his technique?
I don't know. I'm not a DO.
So
it looked fairly resembled to what I've experienced.
You heard it here first.
So I did read something interesting. So he's an osteopath. Is that what he's classified as? Sam Raimi's brother is an osteopath. And Sam Raimi's brother is Ivan Raimi. Bruce Campbell's character is Ivan Hood. And the director of this movie, Josh Becker, I believe, he was in the lighting and art department for Evil Dead. So he's a Raimi guy. Bruce Raimi. Yeah. So I think it was like one big like little tip of the hat to
who
I bet is like they're all their like personal doctor.
Well, it didn't make me enjoy this movie more. So, there we go. But they fix Smeagol's back and he's fine and he sounds like a person again. So they go back to the village and we see the same establishing shot. He's just like, "Hey, man, the president's alive." And everybody's like, "The president lives." And they're weird cult chant. And he's like, "Well, hold on. He's a bit of a dick and he wasn't actually helping anyone. So I'm going to help." And everybody's just like, "Ah, we don't actually care."
Yeah. They're like, "Not without the president, we can't do it."
I mean, you just showed up with a bunch of people we've never seen before. So clearly people are following you. But I don't know. So they just decide, well, they're like, "We're on our own, so we're going to go attack the sawmill." And then they show up with, like, way more people than they
Before this, we have a little camp scene.
Oh, God.
You're forgetting about one of the...
Judas.
Jesus metaphor gets Judas.
I blanked that out.
Yeah.
So there's like, a scene. They're all camping. They sit on for the night. Bruce goes off to, like, stare at for some reason they show a shot of the moon, but apparently they didn't get the right ratio for the screen, so they stretched it so you have an egg-shaped moon in the sky, and it's the most bizarre thing. They like couldn't get the right aspect ratio, so they just stretched it for the screen. But he gets to stare at the egg-shaped moon.
Yep.
And while he's doing that, Shitbeard wakes up and does an attempt but rapes Jungle Girl.
Yeah. Like for like 3 seconds. He's like just 3 seconds. Like there, and then 3 seconds, and then he gets thrown off.
Yeah, then fingers throws her off.
The way they shot it, it wasn't even clear. Like,
yeah.
No, it wasn't. It was like he
shot of him being like or something. And then Nine Finger throws him off, and then Bruce Campbell shows up, and Nine Finger's like, "Well, he raped her." It's like he was over her for 3 seconds. What the fuck?
At most, he sexually assaulted her, but no, he raped her.
Yeah. Apparently, and she's just like all curled up like a damsel now. And then,
Campbell just. I would have thought she would have just killed him. Like she's carrying around all right. this boat.
Well, she's been like a strong female character up to this point. And she needs Bruce. But so he like tells the jungle guy, tells Shitbeard that they're civilized people now. They have laws and rules. And Shitbeard's like, "Fuck you guys. I'm going to go and I'm going to tell the aliens where you're at.
Yep.
And you all going to be slaves in the morning." So he goes to leave. And Bruce grabs a crossbow. And he says something.
He gets a Bruce line in.
Yeah.
And then he shoots a Shitbeard turns around with the arrow at him. He's like, "Wait, you're a doctor. You're supposed to heal people." Then Bruce goes, your prognosis is terminal. Now you're cured." And then he dies.
Then the man dies.
And he dies.
And then Bruce just walks away into the woods.
Yeah.
It's like, "You're a doctor. Can you please see to the rape victim?"
Yes.
Can
you check and make sure he's okay?
Yeah.
And then, other than Shitbeard dying, there's no consequence to that scene whatsoever.
That was it.
"Hey, you know what would make this guy look like a villain? A rape scene." It's like, not the part where he enslaved a bunch of people. We need to ham fist a really stupid, unnecessary.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
well, he makes a comment earlier, way earlier, when they capture Renee O'Connor, when they recapture her.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
they're carrying her in, and like he says something about, like, "Man," he's like, "it's a shame they're gonna kill her because I really wanted to do the space girl." He makes a comment like, "So you know he's got like the rape intention."
Yeah, so that just happens.
Yep.
And then they go to attack the sawmill, and there's a bunch of people, and they have what we thought it was like a siege cart that was covered with a ghillie something, and there were some spikes, and then they just open fire with their arrows. Kill like a shitload of the bounty hunters.
Yeah, all the tower guards.
Yeah.
All the tower guards.
All of them who never did a single fucking thing.
And then they use their battering ram because there is a 3-foot chain link fence that's being held up by twine that they need to take down.
But they take it down successfully.
Yeah, they like kind of bump it. Like someone could have fell. and reached out and grabbed onto this fence and would have ripped the whole thing
down. That crazy guy that tried to escape earlier in the movie could have knocked that thing over trying to climb over it.
So they fight and kill a lot of the bounty hunters, and then he's reunited with Renee, and then the pine cone opens up, and then the aliens come out, and they start shooting people with their didgeridoos, and two people die when the pile of 2x4s gets hit. Blows up, flips in the air, and then we get a downward facing camera shot zooming in on their face.
A post,
just a hard
shot. Not on a camera zoom, a post zoom. Like they went in post and zoomed in on the shot.
So two different people in this fight scene get crushed by lumber that got blasted into the air. That's the thing they decided to do more than once.
Yeah,
the second one was really caught me off guard with that, like the way she like blocked. It looked, she looked so determined, like she was going to stop this.
She did not. So
apparently,
So the aliens come out, and then they all retreat, and they go right back to the exact same spot they were just in, and then they rip the thing off of the battle cart, and it's like a huacha. It's loaded with a bunch of arrows. Do you know what a huacha is? It's
Tell
a
us.
Thing. And it's loaded with a bunch of arrows. So they shoot it at the aliens, and it absolutely fucking wrecks their shit.
Decimates them.
Destroys them. And they fire it more than once with the exact same shot.
And with about the same, it has like a 10% accuracy rate. So many arrows are going by these aliens as they just watch them.
They just watch
them. Oh, and you know what I just remembered that I have to acknowledge? The one alien who got stabbed in the gut, we got to see his funeral.
Oh my God. That was way early. That was insane.
That was earlier. I forgot. That was weird.
That's the craziest scene in the whole movie.
In the middle of Bruce's Jesus journey, they were like, let's check in on the camp that you forgot about.
It's back when they're carrying Renee back. Well, after they've caught Renee, because they have her on the spit. They carry Renee back on a
clearly,
spit.
Yeah, fumble her way out of. So we see the aliens surrounding this thing that has a glowing green orb on top of
it. They focus on that like twice. They focus on that for a good second twice, and you think it's some kind of,
it's gonna be a thing, right?
But it's never a thing.
Yeah, no, it never comes up. So they're just there, and they put their buddy there and start burning him, and then somebody's like looking at him, and one of them turns around and roars with his creepy jaws, and then they all start mourning by going like,
yeah, they just like do this weird jittery
dancing and start
convulsion dance.
So yeah, clearly the aliens have emotions, I guess.
Yeah,
that was just the thing I wanted to mention because it was fucking weird.
I'm really glad it did that, because as an audience member, it let me connect with the antagonist. I was able to see both sides. These are living beings.
Yeah,
of course.
You know, we're all living beings.
We're all mortal.
They're out to survive too, and it's just we've been put in the struggle.
Yeah, so. So they successfully capture the sawmill. Like, they did it, guys.
Yeah, they did it.
And then, oh my God, a fucking tank.
Yeah, the ground starts shaking. There's something coming.
Absolute terrible CGI.
Oh my God. Oh, wait. Before that happened, though, they took the sawmill and then they captured all the bounty hunters.
Yeah,
They bring the bounty hunters out, and they're going to kill them. There's like three or four of them. Yeah, like just a couple of them. Yeah. And they're going to kill them. And then Bruce is like, "Wait, we don't have to kill them. Yeah. You know, this is your first taste at freedom. It's up to you to decide what to do." And they're like, "Well, we're going to lock them away." So they lock them in this little house.
They lock them in like the guard shack.
So
the tank shows up and it opens. It's little ramp, and a bunch more aliens come charging out.
Yep.
And there's this big battle, and we see the same alien get decapitated three fucking times. because there's two swords at the battle.
Well, right. Well, there's multiple things that happen there when that tank shows up, because the tank shows up.
Well, the aliens come out, but they get massacred by the bows
immediately.
Straight away.
Then you have the scene. Well, you have the scene before that where. They come out, and for some reason, like, all of our survivors just kind of give up or just stay in there for a second. While the guy, the main.
No, that was after the missiles.
Oh, yeah.
The missiles.
I don't fucking know.
I don't know. This whole last scene is a mess.
Yeah, okay. I'm just going to speed through the shit that I remember. So basically, it's. aliens show up. They get shot by arrows. The tank backs up, and then it has a bunch of little ports on the side that open up, and then really fucking shitty missiles come.
Oh my god! Yeah.
Oh my god! This missile start, bombardment.
Yeah, they start blowing up everything. They blow up the piles of lumber. They blow up the fucking guard shack.
So the missiles come out and make like an immediate 90-degree turn to turn to the front.
Yeah,
the they come out of the side. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they just start blowing up random shit. It's like there's people everywhere, but you're not blowing up the people. You're blowing up like the wood.
The piles of wood.
The pine cone.
The guard shack was the funniest fucking
The guard shack was the best.
Zooming right towards there, and the guys whose lives they just spared minutes ago are in the window going, and then they blow up.
Listen, watching that missile bombardment scene almost fucking killed me.
Eric was losing his goddamn mind. Did.
I couldn't breathe for shit.
We have like a watch along you can do that will be uploaded
you
somewhere
may or may not
like a Patreon or something. Yep. Yeah, but
it'll be on our Patreon.
It's fucking incredible. And so everything gets blown up except our characters. They all live.
All the main people. The Fellowship.
Yeah, the Fellowship.
So the Fellowship of Campbell.
The Fellowship of Campbell. Oh my god. So they all
the Fellowship of the Chin.
They just started
they should have called it.
The Fellowship of the Chin. So they all just kind of like get up from the rubble and then stand in a line unarmed, and the aliens just sort of approach them. They're like, "All right, who's your leader?" Bruce Campbell's like, "I'm the leader." And then they do an I'm Spartacus moment, and literally every person is like, I'm the leader. No, I'm the leader. And then the alien's like, "Wow, you humans have some integrity, but I think that guy's the leader, so I'm going to kill him." So they like,
and no one does anything. Everyone's like, "Well, they figured it out."
Yeah. Shit. So they pull him aside. And they just drag it out as long as they can. Yep. There's a conversation about some shit I don't remember or really give a shit about. And then the village and the president show up. And shit goes wild.
Oh, yeah.
That's when we see the alien decapitated three times. Because the president has a sword. Bruce Campbell had a sword. Now the president has a sword. There are two swords at this battle.
Yep. Renee gets one.
At one point, Bruce is using a didgeridoo as a club.
He's just beating aliens with the laser didgeridoo.
There's a couple shots. Like they use the alien get decapitated. They use that bunch.
Yep.
The hand getting severed.
The alien getting gutted by the sword.
Yep.
The sword just wiggling around. just the tip wiggling around inside the
alien. I think they recycled the alien generation where generated. Animation is what I mean when it bites off a head.
Someone gets their head bit off.
Two more fucking people get their stand still and get their heads bit off. And then like Nine Finger.
Or anything.
You're right. Yeah. Moved, stepped to the side, anything. Like, so then Nine Finger and Sexy Lady have Molotov cocktails, which have not been used yet. Then they run up to the tank, which has just not done anything else.
Except then, just clown car out aliens.
Aliens came out.
No, what happens is a creepy golem guy who like took him to the president thing. He runs up and like gives it the up yours thing, and then it opens its side ports because it's going to shoot him because it pissed him off.
Oh yeah.
And then they throw Molotovs into it.
They awkwardly throw Molotovs into it.
Like, they go straight in. They're missiles. Like they show them throwing them, and then the shot of them going into the tank is just a straight
beeline.
You ever threw like a football with like your off hand?
Yeah,
that's what it looked like. It looked like when the sexy girl threw the Molotov.
But those Molotovs going into those windows were like,
like missiles.
Streamlined.
The tank blows up instantly.
Yep.
And the humans are victorious. Like. Not a lot else happens after that. There's like victory poses. And then we haven't won the war yet. We have to take all the sawmills. And then it goes into like,
well, the president comes up. Yeah, the president comes up and like tells Bruce, like, you changed my mind. You convinced me to fight back.
It was because of you.
Because of you. And then he's like, Bruce is like, yeah, tell everyone, get ready in the morning. We take another sawmill.
Yeah.
And then he's like, get it, got it good, and what he says.
And then there's narration again for the first time since the very beginning of the movie.
You find out that the narration is Nine Fingers. Yeah,
and he's writing. He can write in a journal, which we never established if other people.
Well, that's
can,
why he's the smartest
write.
One.
Maybe that is what they did. That's probably what they did earlier when they established he was smart. Is like he could write. Or
well,
something.
God, they need to do something.
He knows, he does letters real good.
And then you get a money shot.
Oh yeah,
they should have showed they should have showed like him writing in his journal. It's all scribbles. It's like not even anything legible. It's just like scribbles.
So yeah, during the end narration, we see a line of people led by Bruce and the other main characters marching through like this hilly landscape, and then. You know, the rule of thirds was used so great here because on the left third of the screen, we see all the main characters marching. And on the right third of the screen, we see Bruce Campbell's face superimposed into the shot, getting the shit sprayed out of it by green goo. And he's just like silently screaming. Like, it's fucking incredible.
It is a crazy shot.
Yeah. It was so weird.
They had to have. I think that it was intentional to but it look like what it looks like. Yeah. It looks very, very something.
Yeah, jizzy.
Yeah, it looks very, very jizzy. Yes. No. That's exactly what it is. Like they had to have like.
Yeah.
There's no way that comes out that way, and they're like afterwards like, oh, he's like that looks.
Somebody framed up an extreme close up on Bruce and told him to scream, and then started spraying green shit on his face. That's what happened.
That is, yeah.
And they put it at the end of their movie.
At the end of the movie, as the literal and figurative money shot, and that's Alien Apocalypse, not Groovy. Wait, shit. So all right. No, what I meant to say is that was Alien Apocalypse. Which is a good time for us to talk about the quality of Campbell.
Good. Bad. I'm the guy with the gun.
Quality of Campbell. I want to save my opinion. So, you know, I feel fair like enough. I did a good job. Nobody knows exactly what I think of this movie.
No, I'm anticipating what you're...
So we'll start with Ursa. What did you think of the quality of Campbell?
Honestly... I had a good time watching this movie. It's a bad movie, clearly. But I kind of like bad movies sometimes. It was a laugh. If you like that kind of film, you'll like this film.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. So I think, you know, and we talk about the quality of Campbell here.
Yes.
And we also like to comment on the quality of the movie, which I agree
with. Right.
But as far as Campbell goes, Campbell's... We gotta face it. He's in his element here.
He is. Yeah. He's in that B movie schlock.
One liners. He's he's got his smirk. His charm is like cranked up to that 11. He's giving inspirational speeches. He's changing minds. He may or may not be a Christ figure in this movie.
I think he is.
I am enjoying that.
He comes from the heavens. He's wearing all white. He's the healer. They call him the great healer.
Oh, he got Judas.
Yeah.
He's gathering disciples.
Oh yeah. No.
He's Christ.
They gave
him Bulgarian Jesus.
Jesus. I think that this was a good time. I had a good time. If I had to sit there and watch this movie by myself, I'd be fucking miserable. But watching this is a good one to watch with friends. It really is. Like, end America. Oh my God, America. Yeah. Well, Tyler, I don't know what's your impression.
Well, like I said, this is my third time watching it. I know the first two times I watched, I did not enjoy it. But this, I really enjoyed watching it. I think this was the perfect way to watch this movie. I watched it, with you guys, and we had a great time just like riffing on it and poking fun. But it is the Bruce is in his element. This is that B movie schlock that I think he, fortunately or unfortunately, is kind of known for. And you could tell he was living. He was the lead. He's there. Chewing scenery every time. He's the only good thing about the movie. So, but every time he's on screen, man, you're kind of drawn to it because he is being just that charismatic. Bruce Campbell, that classic Bruce.
Yeah.
I think Renee did a good job.
Renee. There's just not enough of her in it.
There was.
Yeah, she was missing. That's a giant thing. Chunk
yeah,
of
we needed more of her in this. They had a great chemistry.
But yeah, this. So okay, I've been shitting on this movie, well deserved. But like, you guys are right. It's like the B movie schlock that a lot of Bruce Campbell fans are into. Like if you are the kind of person that likes watching bad movies that you can shit on, absolutely, this is one of those.
Yeah, like I will always say, like, I love trash movies.
Yeah,
I love garbage movies. Like I am a film possum. I love trash. Like,
dude, yeah.
I will gladly watch a movie, you know, like this. You know, one of my all-time favorite movies is Jaws, but I can't just pop in Jaws and watch Jaws. Mm. I can pop in this and watch any time because I can shut my brain off and like do other things and still look up when I need it.
Just laugh at the stupid ADR line deliveries.
It was ADR in this?
No, yeah, none whatsoever.
Give life any ticket away.
Yeah. Oh, we forgot those scenes.
Oh my god, yeah.
There's two long ass scenes of just the additional characters.
Just a long take, just panning past all the characters you made.
And each character has a blurb about Bruce. You know, he cracked my back and whatever.
Oh, he says this. Oh, he did that. Oh, how amazing. Yeah.
I saw him taking a pee in the woods and his dick is pretty nice.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a gossip montage as news spreads over distances.
But it's over 6 feet.
Crowd of people that saw all the shit that they're talking about.
One single panning shot. Like, yeah. So, yeah, but like, no.
Literally everyone was there for all the things they were mentioning.
They were. Yeah.
No, the quality of Campbell is good. He knows what kind of movie he's in. He's acting accordingly.
He is clearly the best part
of this movie. So, like, yeah, no. This is not a movie you should watch if you want a quality movie. But if you want...
it's a good time.
Yeah, like smoke a bowl or have some beers with friends and sit down and rip on this movie and you'll probably fucking
I think somebody, you know, probably since they all know each other before, probably they were sitting around drunk or partying and were like, hey, let's go to Bulgaria and make a shitty movie.
we can sell it to Sci-Fi.
This is Sci-Fi's MO. It's like I said, Sci-Fi Saturdays were my thing. Like the early 2000s were like Sci-Fi's golden age. Like there was so much good shit coming out of Sci-Fi. Every Saturday you go watch some shitty horror movie that like it still holds special places in my heart. Yeah. Like Python 2, you know, Octopus, all that stuff. Octopus 2. all that stuff. It just holds a very special place in my heart. You know, this right here was one of those, and like, all of those were always like random Bulgarian city, aka you know Milwaukee or small town, you know, USA, where everyone is like, I love to eat apple pie and have beer with baseball. Like that's
you know what? Yeah. It's nice to meet you. Yeah. I am native New York.
Yeah, nice to meet you. How about those Yankees?
It honestly made me want to go to Bulgaria and make a movie.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
That would actually be a fucking blast.
I'm down.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Sounds
all right. Good. Podcast over. Guy. We'll be back in a few months. Yeah.
Check out our Patreon and GoFundMe. No, so I think that's pretty unanimous that all of us agree that this is like a shitty movie, but a shitty movie you can have fun with.
Oh, yeah.
So I think with the thoughts out of the way, probably a good time to get down to the nitty gritty. Groovy or not groovy?
But first, let's talk about Patreon. You can join our groovy tier now for only $3, which includes monthly bonus episodes, early access to all Cult Talk Net podcasts, full-length audio watch-alongs, and access to our private Cult Talk Net Facebook community. Or you can join our certified groovy tier, now only $5 a month, which includes an additional certified groovy bonus episode, early recorded beta test podcast episodes on non-Campbell movies, including Jurassic Park, Tremors, Willy's Wonderland, and more. Plus, more certified groovy exclusive tier content. That is patreon.com/culttalknet.
And this month's episode. Follow the Cult as we dive into the 2013 remake of Evil Dead. Will it be rated groovy, not groovy? Can you rate it groovy without the man, the myth, the legend himself? Join Patreon to find out.
And our Certified Groovy exclusive bonus episode, I will be taking on Maniac Cop 2 and 3 in a very special completionist episode. To find out what the rating is on the rest of Maniac Cop 2 and the third entry, Maniac Cop 3, Batch of Silence.
And now, back to the show.
Yo, she bitch. Let's go.
All right. I'll start us off.
All right.
So, I will say, this to me, I know, like, I keep pulling back to this, but, like, the first episode we did, I think, is very prevalent because we did Evil Dead.
Yep.
Yeah.
Great movie, not so great Campbell.
Right.
Yep. This is the antithesis of Evil Dead. Because this is not a great movie. It's really not. Like, honestly, if this was, if this did not have Renee O'Connor or Bruce Campbell in it, this would be your bottom of the barrel, you know, movie dredge. It would be like that sludge at the bottom of like a $5 Walmart movie bin, which honestly, it's still the same thing, but like it would have been, you know, the only way you'd watch this movie is in one of those, like, you know, 20 movies for $3 packs they sell at, like, right, bargain stores. No one would watch this movie if it was anyone but Bruce Campbell in it. Like, yeah, he is the movie. This is a Bruce movie. And Bruce is great in it. Like, he chews scenery. He's on screen. You're watching. You're paying attention.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to give it a groovy.
All right.
I'm giving like I said, shitty movie, great Bruce.
Right.
Yep. Bruce, and what we do here on Call to Campbell, we rate the quality of Campbell. It's groovy.
Yep.
There we go. All right.
Yeah. I kept joking, not groovy through the thing. I'm like, under normal circumstances, yes. But again, yeah, no, this is top quality Bruce. He knows exactly what kind of movie he's in, and he plays it so perfectly. He's like, no, okay, this is gonna be a cheesy piece of shit. Yeah, let's fucking roll. So again, like, get drunk, smoke a bowl, whatever you do, watch this with your friends and rip on it, and it's groovy.
All right, there we go. What do you think, Ursa?
I think this is a social film. That's what I call it.
Yeah.
Agreed.
If you're not watching it with people, you're probably not going to have as good of a time.
Yeah. Don't pop this in and you think you're going to sit down and relax by yourself and watch it. Yeah. Right. I've made that mistake. It's not fun.
I love that. I don't know if we touched on this, but I love that Bruce had stunt doubles for, like, the wide walking scene.
Oh my God. It was so obvious. Yeah.
I kept asking,
is that a body double? Because it was a body double. The guy didn't even have, like, the same hair. He had, like, a big, like, poof, like, pompadour looking thing on his head.
They're like, we got wigs. We can put a wig on.
Yeah. it looks close enough.
Makes me feel like Bruce was like, yeah, no, I'll just be in my trailer. Just throw a wig on that guy. Yeah.
Like, I imagine all those scenes that we saw, like, in the midpoint of the film where he's just sucking on that potato liquor flask was just him drinking. Like, he was like, you know, they couldn't get away from him. He was like, just shoot it. We got 6 days to film this movie in Bulgaria. And that $1.5 million we got given to make this is looking a little thin for some reason.
I'm still calling bullshit.
Yeah.
So social movie. Watch it with friends, rip on it. Bruce is Bruce in it. It's a great Bruce role. I like the character, honestly.
Yeah.
I thought it was great with friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So
what about you? Yeah,
I'm gonna say groovy.
Groovy. All right.
What about you, Eric?
Okay. You know, I kind of already said I agree with the sentiment that this was a bad movie with some great Campbell. The story was literally fucking everything from the Planet of the Apes to Spartacus to Christ's journey.
Yeah,
the Bible.
Like they put
Lord
a lot
of the Rings.
Here. The Lord of the Rings. Man, did they try to have their cake and eat it too. I don't know what led to this script. I don't know how many drugs, how many movies, how many snorts.
Yep.
It took to get drugs. This to get this movie down on paper, but it sure does capture the end. But anyway, we're not here to talk about that. Yeah. Bruce pulled it all together. He said, you know what? You want your Planet of the Apes. You want your freedom story. You want your America coming back and your rebellion and shit. I'm going to give it to you in full-blown Campbell glory, baby. Yep. He delivered on this movie. And like Ursa, I agree with Ursa. Everything you guys have said. This is a great movie to watch with friends. Maybe make a drinking game out of it. I don't recommend using the wigs to base the drinking off of.
I definitely would not. Yeah, that's dangerous. Yeah.
All that being said, I'm calling this a solid groovy on the Campbell baby.
Who knew this fucking movie would get a unanimous
movie? yeah you by our standards this movie is now certified groovy. It earns a certified
Evil
groovy.
Dead was yeah. certified not groovy. People are gonna shit down our fucking
oh I know oh,
well, Lord, well right. Evil Dead was just not groovy. It wasn't certified not groovy. It was ununanimous.
Yeah,
this is a unanimous groovy. This earns a certified groovy seal.
Absolutely.
That Christ. By on our criteria, yeah, we're the podcast that says that Evil Dead is not groovy, Alien Apocalypse is certified unanimously groovy.
God have mercy.
Yeah. Please let us know what you think about that in your comments.
Yeah. But if you're going off our criteria, you know, I defy you to say otherwise. Because if you're basing off our criteria, this movie is a great Campbell role.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely love the Campbell in this.
God damn it, it is.
So, what, you know, certified groovy unanimously, 4 out of 4 groovy on Alien Apocalypse, certified groovy. What is, does anyone have a favorite Bruce moment from Alien Apocalypse?
When he was just fucking digging that bullet out.
Oh like, my God. Yeah.
Oh,
I love it. He like takes the knife and he like just cuts in like he's like fucking like shifting like an automatic car. He's just like it just going from gear to gear to gear and then just takes his hand and just dives in.
Like have and you ever pulls seen that out a little 22 round. Have you seen that game Surgeon Simulator?
Yeah.
You just like plunge your hand and yank fucking organs out. Like, that's what it was. That's my favorite moment for
you. Yeah, like I said, he pulls it out and it's like a little like 22 slug. It's like.
Like you definitely made that worse, Bruce.
Yeah. And he tells him like, just clean that every couple hours.
Just throw some potato liquor on it. You're good.
Doesn't even stitch him up. My favorite Bruce moment is gotta be that last shot, the picture in picture shot of him just having goo sprayed on him as he orgasms, because that's what it is. The visual, if you guys watch it at the end, it is a sight to behold. That is his O face. That is Bruce's O face.
Meme this if it hasn't been memed already.
Oh, God.
Please, somebody.
Yeah. And as he just orgasms, just green goo just sprays across his face. It's a sight to behold.
It was great. My favorite moment comes at the tail end of probably the worst fucking scene in this movie, but it's when he's got the crossbow squared up and he's aiming it at Shitbeard. I love this moment because, first of all, we get the Campbell just like power stance and one-liner, you know?
Yep.
And then schlocky death of horrible villain who was poorly written and poorly acted, like I was glad
and poorly bearded.
Yeah.
So I'd say that was a pretty good Campbell.
That was a good line. Prognosis is terminal. Yeah. Now you're cured.
Exactly. Got it. Loved it.
I liked when he met the president. He's like, what do you mean? No, you're not doing anything. He's like, all right, fine, I'll lead him.
he's like, I shouldn't even fucking came up here. Like,
what did I go on the stage for? Where's the goddamn time walking up this whole mountain?
Like, why are you acting like it's a big deal? Just get a rock or a stick or something.
He's like, these things are soft.
Chew up some paper, get a straw, fuck.
Oh gosh,
that was a great scene.
This is a fun movie to watch with friends. I think Urs hit it on the head when he said it's a social movie. It's definitely not something I think you should sit in and watch like by yourself, because it's not fun, but
strictly social
is the best way to put this, because it's just a great movie. Like if we had some beers and some other inebriants, I think it'd be a lot
Coke.
If we'd had Coke, it would have been a lot more enjoyable. But this was a fun movie to watch. I was not anticipating it to get a certified groovy rating.
Right.
I will say.
Well, you're just lucky we're not rating the movie.
Yes. Oh, exactly. That's That's always something that I like to stress is like, yo, we are not rating the film. We're rating right. the quality of Bruce Campbell.
Right? Yeah,
absolutely.
And this is quality Campbell.
Yeah.
So I think, unless, does anyone else have anything to say about Alien Apocalypse?
I have a lot to say, but I think
yeah, but I think already. We've covered the relevant yeah. The Campbell-related material. In our
I've asked this a few that. Times. Do you think it needs a sequel? No. is there any unanswered questions you want answered for me?
No. If anybody even proposes a sequel to this movie, God. I will shoot myself.
I mean, if it wasn't Bruce, as always, I always like to get a little discussion here at the end. If it wasn't Bruce, is there anyone else you guys would have liked to have seen in this role of Ivan Hood?
Oh my
or do you think
God,
it would even been...
Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner, yes. Yeah. Yeah. The big budget, like, it's like a $120 million film.
Call it Waterworld 2.
Waterworld 2.
We're out of water.
Yeah. Lumberworld. It's called Woodworld. That's what it's called.
Woodworld. Tommy Lee Jones.
Tommy Lee Jones yes. as, like, oh, a yeah. crankety... Oh,
just an angry... He'll yell him into freedom.
Yeah.
That's all he'd do. Son, you need to look at me! And embrace freedom.
I think you'd make a good president in the Kevin Costner one.
There we go.
Now we're just casting the big budget reboot of
it's a reboot, Alien. Not a sequel.
Yeah, yeah. Because you know, as Hollywood starts going through properties, things getting thin. You know, studios are buying up properties left and right.
Left and right.
Disney's going to look at Alien Apocalypse. They're going to buy it up. And then next summer it's Chris Hemsworth and Alien Apocalypse resurgence.
Bruce will make a cameo.
Yeah, he'll have a very brief cameo.
Groovy.
Yeah. Groovy. There we go. I think we've talked about Alien Apocalypse enough for the night.
We have, and it's time for you to talk about it. Let us know what you think about Alien Apocalypse.
Yeah, let us know on our in the comments. Hit us up on our Instagram at CultTalkNet. We have a Patreon. At Cult Talk Net, or you can catch some bonus episodes. We've got
watch-alongs.
We have our early beta episodes, which are kind of cringy and kind of fun to listen to.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You'll be getting the episodes early, so you won't have to wait as long as everyone else. You'll have these episodes up early, and we'll have a lot more content up for everybody. So it's a good place to come and interact and get some extra content from the Cult of Campbell. But until then, until next time, I think it's time to just remind everyone to stay groovy.
Hail to the king, baby. That's it? That's the best you got?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.